And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Jane, let's make a full circle now then and come back to these mysterious cathedrals. Who built them and why?
Well, they were built by alchemists, probably financed by the Knights Templars after they returned from Jerusalem. And in fact, they built almost 500 cathedrals in Europe in 100 years, which may not sound like that much, but when you realize that it takes about 70 or to 90 years to build a single cathedral, you realize the scope of this building project, and you begin to wonder why they were doing it. And I believe that the Templars discovered secret information that had been buried under the Temple Mount, and it was the information of this higher-dimensional alchemy, and they began building the cathedrals all over Europe in order to create this kind of relationship between the between dimensions, between the sky and the earth, between Father God and Mother Earth, and all the Celtic analogies that they used at the time.
All right, you may be right. Let's go to the phones, because they're lining up for you. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you calling from? It is you.
Hi. This is Chris from Atlanta.
Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Oh, I am loving this conversation. I just am so I feel like there's a drought in my soul, and I needed this so badly.
Well, and now you're part of it, so have some fun.
Well, that's why I'm calling. I do want to be a part of it. I'm a Christian, and I've been really struggling with a lot of the dogma and stuff that they you know, try to whip us into shape with in church, and consequently, I don't go to church much anymore. But I'm still a Christian. But I have been looking at Nag Hammadi scrolls and looking into ancient religions, and the things you are talking about, I want to know, what do I do, Jay? Where do I go? What do I practice? What books? What groups? How can I get myself ready to be transformed in 2012? I want to be there.
Well, so do I. What I suggest is that you look for something traditional it's a good question, you know. The thing is, at the end of time, there isn't any answers to or masters that are available. So what we have to do is we have to just prepare ourselves, and I would suggest that you continue your studies of the Nag Hammadi, and anything that's over 1,000 years old. I wouldn't study anything that's less than 1,000 years old, because it has too much spin, too much political spin on it. So I only read old texts.
Okay.
And I find that there's more truth there. And once you crack the code of trying to figure out what it is they're really saying and their language and their culture, then you can find out that Christianity has an incredibly profound knowledge, and actually, probably, in my view, the most profound, but then
yes.
I'm prejudiced. But and I think that it's time for the esoteric Christians and the mystical Christians to take back some of our heritage.
Darn right. Thank you. I'm so glad to hear someone on the radio saying that. Finally. Yes, it is.
Yes.
We've become invisible.
Well, you get overwhelmed by groups who are working political agendas, and I'm not sure that Christianity is really built for political agendas.
No, it's not. Jesus was very clear about that.
Yep.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Can I ask one more question?
Real fast.
Okay, so 1,000 years old, you would say then the Bible would be something I might want to put aside.
No, the Bible, the Bible's older than 1,000 years.
Okay.
Islam, the Hindu texts, by the way, are great. David Frawley is an author, and he writes about the Hindu texts and what they say about 2012 and the great transmutation of humanity.
Right.
There's so many things. The Sufis talk about it. There's many, many indigenous religions and Native American that know about it. It's quite astonishing, actually, how it permeates across so many boundaries and cultures.
And you have these in a bibliography in
in the book Mysteries of the Great Cross at Henday, which you can buy off the website at Coast to Coast. There is goes into great discussion of each culture, what they believe, how you can find the text, everything.
All right, very good. Thank you for that call. Appreciate it, Chris. Let's move now to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, this is Deborah in Hollywood.
Hollywood. Hey, did you feel any rumble, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Just felt a real good one.
Yep. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Yeah, so when your guest was talking earlier about the higher dimensional body and being able to know more, like have more awareness or wisdom coming in,
mm-hmm.
I recently met a teacher who I did one class with him, and the feeling I had was the same feeling I had when I had a near-death experience. Mm-hmm. There was just so much love, and I had had a healing from some angels who came when I was in a coma. So I kept studying with this man, and I didn't know where he was leading me, but what ended up happening was we did this whole system of integrating our chakra system so that more of the love of our higher self would, like, integrate into our physical body and into our human heart. And it's really been an incredible journey, and I feel really stable. And
I think a lot of the yogas and things are handed down from these ancient societies and religions, and what they are is they're exactly what you just said. They're designed to align yourself with the hyperdimensional space that exists around us. To understand this really well, you should look at the paintings of Alex Gray. He really has the light body nailed down as far as in art. So, you know, this thing really is true, and it's just now in the last few hundred years that we're starting to deny that there's an ethereal body around every human.
Yeah. What I've understood is there's many different parts of our spirit that got separated when we were real little, and now we can learn how to integrate them back in. And my teacher calls it cellular memory healing, because you really do start to remember. A lot of your memories come back, and it's all through our basic feelings, like loving any feeling that we might feel, because there's a message in the feeling, whether it's grief or anger or whatever.
Sounds like alchemy to me.
Okay, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. We must have gotten some kind of rumble. All my computers are out right now, too.
Wow.
Strange times. Mm-hmm. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George and Jay. This is Caleb calling from Fresno.
Hey, Caleb. How are you?
Pretty good. Man, I take this stuff maybe too seriously. It freaks me out so bad. I find it hard to focus on work and concentrate and get through these days. And, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I just want to know, the first caller kind of touched on it, but I want to know kind of a little bit more in depth of what we can do to prepare for all these upcoming changes and to become enlightened, because this stuff kind of freaks me out, and I want to be ready, and I just kind of want to know what I can do.
Well, I tell you, it's a great question, and what we're putting together is a conference that's going to be in Seattle in September. It's going to have a lot of the people who, scholars, who have studied the 2012. And that's what I'm truly trying to do, is try to put together something where we can all come together and try to figure out exactly what this all means, and various traditions and sciences and what all of this is saying. So that's, it's a start. I think over the next 7 years, things have to coalesce in a whole new way. And I think the pedal's going to hit the metal, and we're really going to go for it. And a lot of things are going to become more and more clear. So I can't really tell you exactly which spiritual path that you are to take, except to say that probably you should follow the one that you were born in and look deeper into it, because you may find the secret of alchemy inside it. I believe that almost all of the major traditions on Earth are actually teaching the secret of alchemy in different forms, to different cultures, but different languages.
Well, I am a Christian, and I am involved in metaphysics for healing purposes and so forth. So, I believe in where I'm going to go and what's going to happen in the end. But I think there's a lot more in the universe that all of us, really knows what it's all about. There's a lot of stuff that nobody's going to know until the end. And, because of my far out interests and so forth, maybe it makes me a little bit crazier, but I just want to be ready, and more so I just need some kind of comfort, because it bothers me so much. It's hard for me to work sometimes.
Well, and at the advantage that you have living at the end of time is that all of the information is available where it wasn't available to you if you lived in previous times. So that's the, while everything seems to be in utter collapse, there's golden nuggets all over the place. And the fact that even the information of alchemy and the Cross of Henday is being broadcast is an amazing event. And I think that these things are very telling. The times are shifting very quickly, and I would pay close attention. That's my advice.
And you're not crazy. You're just perhaps different. That's all. Atlantis, anything ever come up in your research on that?
Well, actually, it did. While I was in Peru looking at the ruins around Bolivia there, a book came out called The Atlantis Solution, and it was about how this author, J.W. Allen, had discovered that all of the things that Plato talks about in his writings about Atlantis really points closer to the plains of Bolivia, the plateau of Bolivia. And again, it looks like the, and I think this work is actually going to bear out. It's very, very good scientific work. And it looks like the Cross of Henday is actually pointing at the ruins there around Lake Titicaca. Interestingly enough, the major ley line in southern England points right at that area also.
Did you do any work on Rennes Le Chateau?
Well, actually, yes. We kept bumping into the Rennes Le Chateau mystery as the research went on through the years. Strangely enough, there's some seriously strange indications that the priest, Father Saunier, had a cryptogram about the zodiac, and one of the cryptograms, Scorpio, was pointing at the Cross of Henday. So it seems as if possibly Saunier was uncovering the hidden monuments that had been left behind by the Keepers of the Light, and was unveiling them, or he was part of a group that was searching for him and unveiling him.
All right, let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George and Jay.
Hi.
This is Gary in Oil City, Pennsylvania.
Oil City, Pennsylvania. Go ahead.
Jay, thank you for your acknowledgement of Terrence McKenna. Please bless me 60 seconds here, Jay. I've always wondered why the Spanish priests burned most of those Mayan manuscripts. The emotional explanation was it was punishment for not stopping the human sacrifice. Religions to this day are still vehemently competing. The Spanish priest thought he was the first one to reach this new land with his unique interpretation of the cross. Maurice Cotterell showed that the Mayans already had an understanding of the cross, which would have directly competed with the Spanish priest's interpretation. So, Jay, I feel consciousness didn't let this information be lost via the stone lid at Lord Piquel's tomb in Palenque, which Cotterell believes is information about the sun and our galaxy. And, Jay, I feel Lord Piquel's lid is the equivalent to the Dead Sea's copper scroll via John Allegro's The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross.
Well, I think that there may be a lot in what Maurice Cotterell has found. I'm familiar with his work on solar flaring and the galactic alignment, and I know him. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, he's one of the people who's helping us uncover a lot of the things that are happening right now.
Jay, what do you do next? I mean, you continue to write and report. Where do you go?
Well, right now I'm running a I have my own filmmaking company, and we've produced and many really incredible films on contemporary healers and people who are working in alchemy, more or less, whether it be Alex Gray, the sacred artist, or Jonathan Goldman with Healing Sounds. And we're making high-quality DVDs, which we're selling all across, and trying to create kind of an alchemical video university, I guess. And I'm going to continue doing that. I'm making a film on quantum astrology. I'm working on another film about alchemical healing. And so there's a lot going on. I have another book coming out in the fall on alchemical cinema, which is about movies and how they deliver certain kinds of information to us on a subliminal level that transforms us.
All right. Very good.
Lots going on.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi.
I have two quick comments and a question.
Sure.
Regarding the person who just spoke about the Bible earlier, not knowing what to believe or trust, I have found recently, just George, actually hearing last week your show, I looked in Scripture in the Hebrew to find concerning the planets that the alien beings could come from. And in Job 9:9, it talks about Maserath and Arcturus. Now, the amazing thing, I went to my girlfriend to share this with her, and she looked in her Bible, and those planets were not mentioned. Those solar systems were not mentioned. So those were the Illuminati the Bibles, where they don't want us to be able to track and go back. So that's how someone could find out, is that they look at Job 9:9, they can see if Maserath and Arcturus are mentioned, and if they are, then you've got a, you know, a King James or a good Bible. The other comment I had, and then the question about crop circles, was I had understood, and I don't know where this came from, but that on that day, on 2012, December 22nd, that there will be no space of darkness between the sun, and I want to know if this is true, between the sun and the earth, that there will be no planets to give darkness, and it will shine for 4 days, and that our DNA will change, that's one question, to prepare us for the 1,000 years coming of the golden age, or the life with the Holy Spirit, which God also talks about the Iron Age in the Bible being the age we're in. And if you believe that crop circles could be the chance of many thousands of people when they come together, and that energy could lay down as a crop circle.
All right, let's go with the crop circles first, Jay, before we take the break.
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible. I don't know what crop circles are. I know that they're getting more complex and their messages are becoming more understandable, and I think that that's rather astonishing. And so I can't really answer on crop circles. And there's many, many different myths and stories and legends about what's going to happen in 2012. I'm a student of 2012. I'm not an expert of it. I'm only here to study it.
How about the DNA changing?
Could happen.
By the way, southern New England, near New Bedford, they just had an earthquake. On that side, 2.3 magnitude. Wow. What's happening? Back in a moment.